say hello and Gamma Joba once again to Halftime at Midnight, your podcast as usual about Georgian football in English. My name is Amir and I am joined by my co-host over in Costa Rica, Kahi.
Hi Amir and hello everyone. Very happy to share with you all our 10th episode, as it is usual with a lot of topics to go through. From this very moment, I want to apologize if you hear some kids screaming on the back. My neighbors have a huge party going on, and when I told them we were actually about to record our very special 10th episode, they increased their noise.
Well, I'm glad that to see that there's some enthusiasm from Costa Rica, from more people than just yourself.
Indeed it is.
To be honest, we have also noticed kind of a rising interest lately with many new followers in the last couple of weeks. So we're really thankful for that. So if this is your first time listening, I just want to say a warm welcome to the podcast. And as we talk through the usual topics concerning Georgian football. That being said, let's jump straight into the agenda. And we begin on home soil in Eronuli Liga to go through the latest news. And what we can say there instantly, something that dropped just a few days ago, very fresh, is that Jano Ananidze has joined Dinamo Tbilisi. And this has been kind of rumored for a long time, but not quite happened. I know he was training with the team, but there have been some rumors about he would actually sign. And now it's confirmed. What do you make of that move, Kari? Kind of expected, but will he raise the quality just immediately?
Well, to be honest, the good news in this is not that Jano has moved to Dinamo Tbilisi, but the fact that Jano is already training. To be fair, Jano is an exceptional player, and he will be a great asset for any club, but especially for Georgian clubs, you know, on our task of qualifying to Europe. So from that spot, I would say if he keeps and if he stays in the team, he has enough time to get or recover his form. Maybe not on his best, but at least on an acceptable level. And I guess he will be a really huge kind of icon for us in the European tournament. I'm having a lot of expectations. And for now, I just want him to take care of his whole injury and to play normally, you know. But I guess he will rise the quality of the team on the overall view.
Yes, and to be honest, it's been not very fun to watch Dinamo Tbilisi play lately. They've had some questionable results and not played that fantastic. But, you know, it will at least be exciting to watch him now. And so in that regard, I really look forward to what he can bring to the team. They remain first on the table. But to be honest, both of the Dinamos have been having some, drop of form, questionable results, and not gone as expected, I guess we can say. For example, Dinamo Tbilisi they actually lost in the cup against the Shukura, and they followed that up, which what you think would have been a bounce back victory, but they actually lost 2-0 against Sangurali, so which is a newcomer. So another unexpected result there, but they bounced back with a 1-0 victory, I believe. But still, it's very inconsistent, and the same goes for Batumi here. So I guess we were also reading that Gegužatce might be under pressure, or do I interpret that correctly, Kavi?
Yes, actually, to be honest, I thought that he would be fired after a couple of news I've managed to read in the Georgian media, but I'm glad he's not. And yes, I have to agree with you, but you know, both Dinamos came back to life in the last round. This week they've had kind of good results, you know. Batumi, they managed to kill Shukura 8-1, and Dinamo Tbilisi won the Clásico 1-0 against Torpedo. And of course, Torpedo is not a kind of strong rival at this point, but winning a Clásico is always kind of healthy for every club. So you know, we were ready to criticize them, weren't we? But yeah, I guess both teams, at least this week, they managed to shut our mouths for a while at least. So, you know, both leaders are going to have a defying challenge next week. They face each other, actually. And I will say this is a match we can't miss. As, you know, despite them both being a bit irregular, it seems the evolution of the league's positions are standardized. Therefore, that match could define the outstanding leader. So, considering the path so far, Emir, I have to ask, you know, because you follow a lot our Umaglesiliga. Which do you think is the favorite Dinamo for that game and overall for the season from what you have seen so far?
Oof. If I had to bet on this game, I would go for like a 1-1 draw or something, just because both teams should be quite scared of losing right now. So they might just settle for not take many risks. But also, I think more pressure is on Batumi, because if Dinamo wins, that takes them 6 points ahead. And that's quite a comfortable lead. But I haven't been impressed with either team so far, to be honest. I expected more from both. But it will be an interesting one. I mean, it's the biggest game that Georgia can offer you. So you have to, you really need to watch it.
Yes, definitely. And you know, something important in addition to that, Emir, is that, on the side of Batumi, despite their massive victory last night, they still have Gegužija in the spot. You know, and I'm guessing that Gegužija will try to play this kind of safe strategy in that game. You're not wondering if Dinamo Tbilisi might have this kind of step backs as they usually do and have. I'm guessing that is going to be a very strategic game, very different from what we saw in the first round. But yeah, definitely, you were welcoming the people who are listening to us for the first time, and I would like to add and invite them to watch this game, because I'm guessing that we're going to have a lot of comments about it. And plus, and to connect with the other topic we mentioned before, apparently Jano is going to be ready to play a couple of minutes in that game. So that also will be really interesting to see. Hopefully, this kind of facing offs and this kind of competition will raise the quality of the overall league. So this is something good, and I'm really glad that we're going to be part of this challenge.
Absolutely. And at one point Ananidze was rumored, this was many years ago now, but he was rumored to move to Arsenal and other big clubs, but it seems he chose to upgrade to Ernuli Liga instead. So that will be, it's just funny what the future brings. And I'm glad to see him immediately in a game like this. Because he was also rumored to join Batumi for a while, if I remember correctly. So his name has been linked to both teams, and we'll see him square off immediately in a massive game. But
before you step to the next step, I know we have a lot of topics, but I wanted to know also your opinion about Gagnidze playing together with Jano. There's a lot he can learn from Jano, and I guess this is a really good thing for Gagnidze. Yeah,
of course. I mean, it's like the previous era and the new kid, so to speak. Not an immediate replacement, but they're very similar in the sense of being comfortable on the ball, trying to come up with creative solutions, hard to take the ball away from. It will be I don't think Gagnidze could have a better training partner to kind of watch and learn from. So in that regard, it's a brilliant move. And for those of you who haven't seen Gagnidze, he's called Luka Gagnidze, so you should look him up. One of the most promising prospects of Georgian football at this point in time. But while we are on the domestic league, let's continue here with a bit of comments on Lokomotivi, because last week we spoke a little bit about them, the fact that they are entertaining in the sense that they are involved in very high-scoring fixtures. So they score a lot of goals and they concede a lot of goals. So their games end, 4-3 and, 3-2 and these kind of results. But I was thinking about that because they have Gheorghe Ciarishvili, a very respected coach. A coach who was, in the talks of, possibly taking the national team. But in general, he's like an innovative manager. But they've conceded the most goals in the league, which I think is strange because they have Guram Kasia in the defense, and in general, a pretty good defensive line. So it can't be that the players are weak. It must be a system error somewhere. What do you think, Harry?
Well, and you said it in one of our conversations. I guess they're our own Atalanta, with a couple of differences. But I guess that you need a little bit of craziness to get success. And he had this kind of strategy, strange strategy, unexpected, and that's how Lokomotiv had the last year a kind of a reasonable and positive result in Europe. You know, nobody expected Lokomotiv to play that way with the resources they had. So I guess he's pushing on that side. Of course, there should be something missing in the defense, and we can't blame the defenders because the names are actually pretty good. You know, the players individually, they're kind of remarkable players. But you know, when you attack and you put everything on the offensive line, it is normal that you have something, some kind of mistakes and holes and spaces in the back. So maybe they should think about players who are mostly adapted to that kind of system. I would say that the system of Chabrishvili is way hard for Georgian mentality at this point. But I'm really glad that he's teaching them, you know. And I don't want to compare because we can't compare. But if you see, for example, the Premier League, and you see the defensive line of any team, you know, they play up on the middle, and they are used to run to the back and cover. And when you see that, you don't see that in not only in Georgia, but in, let's say, in 80% of the countries in Europe. That's not something you see often. And when you see that in Lokomotiv, and then you have these guys running back, they're not so fast enough, and they're not used to keep the line and to keep the positions they have to keep, you know. So that's where the problem starts. So I guess that step by step they will learn, especially the younger guys. And hopefully in the future this strategy will have a better result. But for now we have to say, yeah, defense is falling in the sense that they're allowing a lot of goals. But my opinion is that it is because he's playing something different. And actually, I like it. You know, it's kind of differently exciting. And you know, I'm familiar with the feeling, and I love it. And I'm sure you do as well.
Yeah, you could just conclude, though, that without these defensive errors, they would be probably in the top two right now. Because all other statistics show that they are, you know, creating chances, have a very, very respectable offense. So I think you said it well there, that they are the Georgian failed version of Atalanta. I guess we could just leave it at that. And Chiabishvili must be watching Gasperini a little bit more to get his puzzle together fully.
Agree.
As we conclude, and that was the Eronulli Liga news, but before we move on completely from that, next season, it's been confirmed now that VAR will be coming to Georgia. And it was pretty much demanded by fans after a couple of dodgy decisions in key games in the previous seasons, as I understood it. So that will now be introduced. VAR is coming to Georgia, confirmed, basically. And what's your opinion on VAR itself? Now we've seen it in a couple of leagues in Europe, and are you happy that it's coming to Georgia?
Oh, that's a tough one. That's a difficult question, Emir.
It can make or break our friendship, Kaki. No.
indeed. I'm you know, that's why I'm thinking a lot about it. Well, you know, it has generated a debate almost everywhere in the world, hasn't it? I mean, I understand the referees in Georgia are not the best of our football, and usually people blame them for everything. Also, because in the past we had referees pretty much involved in match fixing matters, among other weird stuff. But you know, to be honest, I understand, and I know that this has been mitigated drastically and improved in many ways. But yet, GFF has to bring something new, and usually they bring foreigner referees for certain matches and rounds. So people in Georgia seem, as you said, happy with the VAR announcement. It is somehow a very important footstep ahead in the technological modern football era. But I'm not very sure if it's the key for success. What's your assumption on this, Emil? Because I know that you've been, you've been holding yourself about this, but I know that you have a better view. And what can VAR bring for not only in Georgia but overall to the world of football?
As it is now, it brings nothing because it's a half made product.
Don't be so honest, my friend.
Well, it's like they've tried to launch like a half made product and say, let's try this, and it's had such a severe impact on results and decisions. And if the Georgian argument was that, well, the referees have made dodgy decisions, so they're complaining about referee decisions, I can tell you right now, they would also be complaining about VAR decisions, about millimeters, about offside, not offside, penalty, why is this not a red card, and so on. Why is this team more favored than the other? Endless. And if the argument is that, well, we must modernize because the rest of Europe is doing it, I say, well, if the rest of Europe said, tomorrow we'll be eating soap, would you also be doing it then? No. So this whole thing of we must implement it to kind of catch on to the trend, you know, just because others are doing it, you must kind of stick to your guns of what you think is correct. But obviously now they have some sort of belief in this VAR system, which I think is a broken feature in modern football right now. So that being said, I was just recovering from the Super League news. And I was thinking, okay, maybe I can get back to, you know, slowly drop that and get back to football. Then the Georgian League is dropping this. Oh, we'll be bringing VAR to our league. I was like, oh, guys, please allow me some time to recover before you come with more bad news. So it's been a hard couple of days when it comes to football interest. And yeah, like, is VAR here to stay in the modern football in general, if we just look at Europe as a whole? Do you think it is, or will it be pulled back, revised, and then relaunched?
Well, you know, I have to go back. You know, I understand the headaches you're having with this, but I have to go back on time. And I do remember that we actually, I'm not sure if it was in the early 2000 years, we were having a lot of problems with the refereeing overall. And, you know, sometimes there were goals were not allowed, and also, you know, shots which were not goals, and they would say it was a goal. You know, this kind of drastic decisions, and that's where we started, like a civilization, like a football fans community in the world, to kind of push the technology. You know, we have the line when the ball goes through, and when
that one's good.
Goal. That one is good, but it didn't exist before. So, and it also had a couple of issues at the beginning. So I guess VAR has a lot of kind of problems. I see them as well. You know, sometimes the line of the offside is not straight. I see the video and I don't see the line is straight. Something is not correct there. And sometimes they say, well, we didn't adjust it correctly. So what does it mean? It means that technology can play on the other hand, you know, against us. So, I don't know. Maybe modern football needs technology. But I would say it is not time to test it on the people like if we were rats. I guess they still have to test it in a better way. And I guess it has to be a little bit different. But you know, we were hungry. Now they give us kind of food, maybe cheap food, but we can't complain. You know, this is something at least. Not sure if it's good or worse, but it's something at least. But yeah, the answer for that, I guess it will be yes. Is here to stay.
Well, in that case, to every single Georgian football fan who wanted this, I don't want to see a single more complain on VAR decisions then, because they've asked for it, they got it, and now it will be interesting to follow the kind of debate going forward of decisions and the line was not straight or because it's still a human judging where the line is, and so you don't get away from the human factor there.
Don't worry, Amir, we'll find something else to complain about.
Yes, in pure Georgian style, we will. But let's move on to something more more interesting, because we could speak about VAR forever. Actually, Kvaratskhelia's rumors has been more intense lately. There's been more rumors added to it, I guess, and some more concrete names. Leeds or Juventus seems to be the hottest ones. But my question is basically, where does he fit, Capi?
Well, it's kind of difficult to say, because we have a list of, if we follow the media, we have a list of at least 35 clubs interested in Kvaratskhelia. And it's hard to say, but, you know, recently, apparently Leeds and Juventus, they have already made a kind of a statement about him. So, yes, if we have to choose between these two, I would definitely go for Leeds. I prefer Leeds because they play in a major tournament, if you ask me, but also because they have this kind of project going on. I guess that Quara will have more space and time to adapt and to try to play his football. And I will also say that his quality will be like more required in Leeds than it could be in Juve. You know, at the end, the main task for Juve is to win the Calcio, and if you have one game and you blew it up, then you have no further opportunities. And you have mentioned Haug in Milano, for example. He had a couple of minutes. He wasn't at the level, and now he's sitting on the bench and he's warming the bench, and possibly he's moving on loan somewhere after the season. Mm. So you know, Juve is not less than Milan. Actually, they're more demanding. So I'm not sure if Juve is the best option. So based on that, if I have to select among those two, I would go with Leeds. And also because Bielsa has really good relation with younger generations. He's like a great teacher. He's a master in this. So I'm thinking also in everything Kvara can learn from him, you know, and bring to the Georgian football. So from that side, I would select Leeds. But yeah, what's your opinion on this? Do you like more these two names than the last club we spoke the last week?
I didn't expect the Premier League club to come after him, because especially in Leeds, you know what Bielsa's football requires? Lots of stamina. You cannot cheat a single centimeter when it comes to, you know, ball recovery. So you have to work hard in the defense. Whereas now, Kvara is sort of allowed by Slutsky and Rubin to be the star, kind of do what you want, play to your strengths. And Kvara will need to double his stamina, basically, to be able to compete in Leeds. In my opinion, it's one of his weaker sides, is maybe the kind of strength, durability. So it's hard to see him fit immediately at Leeds. I think he would have a long period of learning. So his hype would sort of die, because now he's a star and he's scoring, and he's, you know, scoring against Spain and doing well in national team and Russian league. To suddenly go to Leeds, for example, where he would probably be on bench for I don't know how many months, weeks, who knows, but it will be longer, and people would say, oh, now he picked the wrong choice because he's not starting anymore. Because you need to be patient, because it takes a lot to go into this system of Bielsa, very, very demanding. If he's up for that challenge, he will learn some really good tools for his career. So in that aspect, I like Leeds. If he can be patient of not coming in and expecting, you know, the same status as he has at Rubin. Juventus, no, he should not join like a Super League team like Juve.
I agree with you.
So, no, I didn't like Milan. Also, I don't like Juventus as well as a choice. I like the thought of potentially him playing with Kulusevski, because there's a Sweden-Georgian connection. It's just fun for me to follow. But that's the only reason. So I would still pick Leeds, even if it will be a challenging thing as well. But we could also see the Leeds fans' reactions when the news broke. It was pretty funny. They mostly not complain, but they are having some concerns about his the spelling of his name, Kvaratskhelia sounds. How do you pronounce it? How do you write it? Oh my God, our commentary will have such a hard time. And they did a song about him already. Did you see it?
Yes, and you know, well, actually, they said there will be no song for him because they can't pronounce the name.
Yeah, so he's got no song because his name is too long.
Yeah. Something like that. But you know something, I was reading the reactions and they were just hilarious. And you know, they have this particular quality, the Leeds fans. They're always really funny people, in a good way, of course. And one of the guys, he was saying that he was actually worried of how would they write the name on the shirt. How would they manage to fit the name? And I was also thinking about it. It's almost impossible. I don't remember these kind of long surnames in the Premier League. Maybe they will just write Quicha. But yeah, he said that he wanted to get a shirt for his boy, but he was not sure of how they would write the complete surname on it. But yeah, I'm kind of fun. It was fun because despite this is just a rumor, when I saw the reactions in the fan clubs of the other clubs, they were not so happy with Quicha. They were like, I actually saw some kind of offensive comments as well. But among the Leeds, of course, there were some who were not so fun and happy about it. But mostly they were really, really positive. They, you know, they went to look up to the videos of Ficha. Actually, one of the guys, he also wrote to me on the inbox and asked me about him. And you know, that's a different attitude. And from that side, I have to say I'm really happy. So from that side, I would say it's a great deal. But yeah, we'll see how it goes. I guess the name on the shirt is the least of the problems here.
Yeah, I'm guessing there are many, many nervous commentaries sitting right now and waiting for the news.
They should be.
They should be. Many hours of practicing the pronunciation there. We also can discuss the fact that if we moved quickly just for the national team in general, they confirmed that they've changed the venue for the upcoming games, right? The three upcoming matches later on this year. They'll play on the Batumi New Stadium.
Yes, it's going to be against Kosovo, Greece, and Sweden. All of them are going to be in the Batumi Stadium. And you know, I have to say something here, Amir, if you allow me. But just to be honest, it is not very usual to see the national team playing away from Tbilisi, although we've had some matches, mostly friendlies in regions. But I could assure you that they were around 5 in 30 years now. So it's not so much. And also feels a little bit weird to see the national team on different pitches, even in Tbilisi. I remember when they started to use more commonly the Mikhail Meskhi Stadium, you know, the Lokomotiv Stadium, especially when it was modernized. And also when the Borispite Sajonesilu Stadium, meaning the Dinamo Tbilisi Arena, was under remodelation. The national team had to cover those months and even years all in the Lokomotiv Stadium. And to be fair, most of us felt like they were loaning our rugby national team's page, you know. So we kind of relate the national team with the Dinamo Arena as per its historical importance in Georgian football. You know, Metrevelli, Meskhi, Kipiani, old classic legends played there in our best football times. And some of the most important Georgian achievements happened between those stadiums' walls. And even if it sounds quite silly, some of the people has blamed the other stadiums for not having proper results. Now, I remember this took me at a certain point to ask for international polls where several football fans of different countries answered on the debate of which stadium among those two was better for the national team. And of course, many, mostly Western Europeans, defended the Dinamo Arena as it was bigger and for the story behind it, you know. But some other people, mostly Latin Americans, they were more in favor of the Lokomotiv Stadium, you know, as people are closer to the pitch, so it is easier for them to create a better and intimidating environment. Also, they alleged the visibility of the game, you know, and the connection between fans and players was better. So at the end, the difference of over 30,000 people wasn't considerable, a considerable reason to choose always Dinamo Tbilisi. And that's where you see the Latin American aggressive blood and spirit in football. But, you know, I'm not bluffing. I actually have a point on this. I mean, I'm sorry for taking so long, but what this means is that Georgian football fans sometimes are irrational and makes no sense on sitting on unbased priorities. Most people doesn't know this, but regions are the best and the origin of Georgian football. It is not Tbilisi. And you can look at any match of the Umaglesi Liga, for example. During all these 30 years, you can barely see 100, 200 people on the Tbilisi stadiums. But then you go to Gori, Santredia, Zestaponi, Batumi, and you can see sometimes even full house. So yes, I understand Tbilisi is the capital, and traditionally Dinamo Arena is related to the national team, but Batumi has become the second most important city in the country, and it has a huge relevance. It is closer to Europe, and it is very modernized. And among all of this, it is not enough to give them a shot. I mean, they have just built the newest stadium in the country, with the most recent standards of quality. So I guess there are great reasons to consider on giving a national team a new home. So I would say the atmosphere is going to be great. People are going to be allowed. So why not to start from zero, a new statistic there? I'm just completely in favor. And not only Batumi, we could also consider other pitches maybe for friendly games. And I mean, this is a huge positive step. And people and fans are angry about it. But personally, I'm really happy. And I'm looking forward to see the games.
Yeah, absolutely. And it could be inspiring for players as well to kind of start to build a fortress. Like when you have a new pitch and you think, okay, we're going to make this our home. We're not going to concede goals here. Or, well, we're not going to suffer losses. Kind of build a positive record there from the get-go. I'm not sure if players are thinking that way, but I'm thinking that the scenery and especially an opening game could be a little bit of an extra factor in favor of the national team there. So I also like this, and Batumi is a beautiful city and has more to offer than Tbilisi in certain ways. Tbilisi is also fantastic and beautiful. But since you have a new stadium, you should make use of it. So I like the fact that they have at least allocated three games there to start with. If they lose all three, I'm sure they will go back to Tbilisi forever.
Hopefully that won't happen.
No. I also wanted to mention that we actually have three new champions in Georgian football. It's always good that our players are winning titles. And I'm talking this time about Lasha Dualy, Georgi Kharashvili, and Valeri Gwilia, who won the titles in Hungary and Poland, respectively. We don't have many players who, you know, collect titles year on year, but Dualy has won now three times, I believe. Kharashvili has a Swedish Cup and a Hungarian title now, slowly starting to collect them more and more. Gwilia, I'm not sure. I'm sure he has some in Belarus from before. And now in Poland as well. So it's good. Our players are kind of collecting this sort of winning mentality and getting into the champion spirit a little bit, mindset. It's just small details, you know. You want to feel successful, and I think this can be important when they represent the national team going forward. Do you agree?
Yes, you have it, and you said it all. A winning mentality, this is very important. And I like the fact that, well, Gwilia is already an experienced player, but Kharashvili and Lasha Dualy are one of the members of, I mean, two of the members of our younger generation. So I like that they will kind of come with this input to the national team, and they can share this mentality with the rest of the boys, especially when they have boys coming from other kind of clubs. So yeah, this is something important, massively. And I also want to join you and congratulate to these three great boys for their awards, and hopefully they will keep on this path. You know, it is really important to be consistent in this matter.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not every day that we have champions, so we have to congratulate them when we get.
Unfortunately, yes.
And I know, Carrie, we have reached the segment where I know that you wanted to dedicate a couple of minutes to just explain where our teams will play when it comes to competing in Europe, because there's a new format being introduced, Europa Conference League. I know you have more input on this than me, so why don't you just explain to our listeners, and also for me, to be honest, how this will work.
Yes, thank you, Mir, for that. And you know, we do have an important change in the structure this year, and we've been receiving a lot of questions from our community, not only related to the Georgian clubs, by the way. So to be fair, even if UEFA tried several times on reducing the amount of competitions, they have realized there's no way on keeping all the participant clubs in two continental championships awaiting a mess, you know. And even if some of us were already, you know, getting familiar with the Europa League as it was, on the financial and operative side, it remained as a mess. So now they have introduced the Conference Cup, as you said, Emir, which will release the concentration from the Europa League with the idea of increasing its level and relevance. Okay, so but we go step by step in order to explain the upcoming continental campaign. So basically, the Champions League will remain mostly the same as we know it now. It will still have the champions and the league path in every level. It will continue hosting on its majority one club per country. So with the exception of the most powerful leagues, of course, you know, they usually have more teams in this competition. So we'll still have one pre-qualifying round, then three complete qualifying rounds, and finally playoff. After this, as we all know, comes the group stage, which is already the part of the tournament with which the world is familiar with, as per its marketing and the teams participating in it, and etc. So this doesn't have many changes. Now, the Europa League has a massive structural change, because until the last year, we used to have the normal three qualifying stages, then the playoff, and finally the group stage. So the last year we had 12 groups. So this was a mess. Generally, I could say there were near 300 clubs participating in the tournament, which is too much, because besides the direct participants, it used to take the released teams from the different stages from Champions League. So this year, Europa League will have only straight participants coming from the best 15 leagues in Europe. you know, as a max two clubs per country and from the best countries, meaning that it will start with the third qualifying round. So we will have no more first and second qualifying rounds. It will have the mentioned clubs in it, and from the beginning we'll start receiving the defeated clubs coming down only from the Champions League. So basically, at the end, it will be like the second opportunity for the, you know, all the eliminated clubs from the Champions League. You know, they will come down from the starting from the second qualifying round till the, even the, from the group stage. Okay, this means that the Georgian clubs, Dinamo Tbilisi, Dinamo Batumi, Dilagori, and FC Gagra, are no longer starting their European adventure in the Europa League. They're starting in the new competition, which will start to be a kind of a new Europa League. I mean, you know, the people say that they kind of changed the Europa League. I would say that they changed the name of the Europa League as we knew it before, and it's going to be the Conference League. And the new Europa League is going to be a complete different tournament. It reminds me a little bit of how it was the Cups Winners' Cup before, but I don't want to make a mess in your head. I just go straight to the Conference League. It will also have the main path and the champions path, and it will have three qualifying rounds and the final playoff. So, you know, the Conference League will start receiving clubs from both, from the Champions League, or the clubs who are eliminated from the Champions League, and also clubs who are going to be eliminated from the Europa League, which means that the mess now is going to be in the Conference League. So, it's going to be like a spider's web on the clubs. But for our interest, for example, Dinamo Tbilisi, and to kind of land the point here, Dinamo Tbilisi will start from the first qualifying round in the Champions League, meaning that if they lose in the first qualifying round, they're going straight to the Conference League. So they're going to have another opportunity. But for example, if Dinamo Tbilisi manage to qualify to the second qualifying round in the Champions League, then they will have even more opportunities, because if they lose, they will jump first to the Europa League. And then again, if they lose, they will jump to the Conference League. So on this side, for Georgian football, it's a little bit better, because our champion team will have more than one opportunity to reach any group stage. And that's something important to mention. All three competitions will have eight groups in the group stage. So I guess this will be much better for us as fans to follow. You know, when you have 12 groups, kind of loses its quality, you know. Does it make any sense to you? Or it's just too crazy?
A little bit, but I would prefer to also see it in front of me and read it. But I hear what you're saying, and it sounds like they're trying to unify the format across the three tournaments, and then it's like a bit of a waterfall effect. If you fail, you always go down a little bit, and you essentially end up in the Conference League. But I see this as a good opportunity for the smaller nations and the smaller teams to show themselves in Europe and compete on a decent level, because technically this means you could. I mean, a team like Arsenal could end up in the Conference League by the looks of it right now, for example.
And yes, they can.
So it's not going to be just the small teams from minor leagues competing each other. So you will still have your big tests. And, you know, it's a good opportunity, like you said, for the small teams. And in that regard, I like the format. I will try to go into this with a positive mindset, and I'm not usually a fan when they change things when it comes to competitions. So, but I will give this a chance for sure, because I like that we will see our teams compete a bit more with some more lifelines. Is what I'm trying to say.
Of course, we just want to avoid this to be another Intertoto, which was a complete failed experiment. honestly, and with all due respect, it was a joke of a tournament. But now, as they have transferred the middle spin, or let's say the kind of the body of the Europa League to this new competition, hopefully it will raise like more investors and more people and. And let's say it's like another opportunity for the European football, and especially for the lower, as you said, for the lower budget nations. So hopefully it will work out. If it doesn't, then I'm not sure what UEFA will do with us. I guess then the future could be even darker. But this is our new hope, and and let's see how it goes for our clubs.
Absolutely, absolutely. We have now reached a stage where we will continue again with our new concept in the podcast, which we introduced last week, where we are going to hand out awards. This is awards which not even Messi, Ronaldo, or any former legend has ever received. So it's time for the podcast's Georgian Supra Awards. Join us. So the weekly top award this week, as we call it here, who is going to be the Tamada of the week? Well, this will go to a Georgian league profile who made a move overseas to take on a bit of a risky mission. He was questioned for a long time by supporters, actually by myself, I remember. But he actually made Georgia proud in the end. And I'm actually talking about Cisco Muñoz. Who managed to get Watford promoted after he made the move from Dinamo Tbilisi to Watford as a head coach. A bit of an unexpected move at the time. Many questions from that itself, but he's now actually completed the mission. What do you think, Harry? Is this Tamada Award deserved for Cisco?
Well, I agree with you, Amir. And even if he's not Georgian, when I see him on a bench or in the interviews, it's like having a family member there somehow.
Yes.
So, yeah, he has strong connections with all of us. So, yes, we're all very happy about it. And personally, I would say he's the best man we could select as Tamada for our Supra.
Absolutely. And you know what? I can see that he gets a lot of praise for his management of raising the spirit and being very humble, down to earth, and it's just new sides. I kind of knew he was this humble person, but the fact that he could do it on such a high level, coming out of almost nowhere for many of the players to still gain that respect is impressive. So I was doubting. I did have some kind of doubts, but he proved me wrong, and I'm really happy about it. So congratulations, Tamada Cisco Muñoz.
Hopefully he will have a couple of good toasts as well.
Are we expecting that?
Okay, but you know, now about we have to move on who should receive the Flop Award, or basically who's not invited to our prestigious Supra this week. And we need to be honest here, Amir, because we have lack of bad candidates this week, which is actually pretty strange, because normally the list is very long. But one way or another, we have to leave someone out of the Supra, you know. Lack of budget to invite them all. So this time, this time we'll say it's gonna be a group, and actually it's going to be the team of Dila Gori. Now, to be fair, they're still in battle in the Umaglesi Liga, and I have even personally congratulated them for their nice quality and play style, but no, they're not connecting their style with successful results, and we are getting closer to the explained European tournaments. You know, Dila needs to get ready for the Conference League, so without results they won't qualify to the next stages, and this is something we require as a country. So I guess they are not invited because they're unable to reach the spot of getting good results. Do you agree with this one?
It was hard to select anyone. Like I said, we didn't have many bad candidates. I would throw in VAR at this, but that's just my opinion. But sure, we need teams to be informed, and if they're not, they are at risk as not being invited to our Supra, and that's exactly what happened this time.
Yeah. So just a question. You said VAR. You wanted FIFA to be away or not to be invited, or just the VAR in Georgia? How's that?
Well. No, I would throw all the equipment out of VAR, and they're not invited. Basically, that's it.
Well, I can tell you we don't need VAR in our Supra, that's for sure.
Yes, so that would be my candidate. But like I said, it was tough choice this time, because it's not been a lot of things going bad for Georgian football. Now, knock on wood, everyone. Yeah, we'll see. It's the second week, so we have Kasia winning the Tamada Award previous week. Now it's Cisco Muñoz. And Lotrushvili was last time not invited, and he will join De Ligori on the not invitation list, unfortunately.
Yeah, we have to mention that Lotrushvili has played after our last episode. He played a couple of games, a couple of minutes as well. He's not playing the 90 minutes, but well, hopefully he will improve and he will join us in the future episodes.
He must have. I'm guessing he must have heard about our Supra and was like, "Shit, I want to join."
I'm pretty sure that's what happened, Emir. I'm pretty sure that's what happened.
Well, to be honest, that's been the latest going on for Georgian football in the past days and weeks. And we're really happy about the extra attention that we've been given and lots of new followers. So thank you all for listening. Kaki, do you have any closing remarks?
Well, this is kind of special because it is our 10th episode. And I would say what I want to remark here is that I never expected the fans to be so kind with us. They're really warm with their comments. Even their constructive comments are very welcomed. And I have to say that I've filled myself with this positive energy they are always trying to ask. So I just wanted to say and give a special thank you to everyone. And well, hopefully, Emir, we'll reach the 100 very soon. And I'm guessing that's going to be even more special.
Absolutely. We are on the way. Thank you all for your support and for listening. We meet again in about 2 weeks' time. And until next time, you all take care. And we say from here, Nachwamdis.